The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Do you get the cow thing? Do you understand? I hope you understand the cow thing by now. I mean, some of you, God bless you, have been with me for years. The cow thing. No sacred cows. You know what a sacred cow is, right? Things that we don't like to talk about. Things we don't tell. We don't question those things. We don't want to make anybody nervous. We don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. We're trying to avoid the awkward moment. But here on the Steve Noble Show, never have been, never will be any sacred cows, myself included. So that's the deal. And oftentimes, just for those of you that are newer to the program, raise your hand. Hi, nice to see you. Thank you. God bless you. Here's the deal over these years. News talk, I consume news all the time. All right, that's just part of the deal. And so we do news talk days like today. I've got a bunch of stories I'm going to work through today, but I'm always going to infuse that with a biblical worldview, with some gospel thinking, some gospel points, and sanctification and discipleship for all of us, not just you, but myself as well. So I'm not going to talk about the news or politics every single day because I don't think that's healthy. That's called gluttony, which last time I checked was a sin. So what we try to do and what I really feel called to do is talk to us in the church or in the choir, whatever you want to call us. Most of us are very conservative, and we've been, to a certain extent, consumed by politics, not just for the last year and a half, but probably for a few decades, at least since 1980. And so we try to round it out a little bit. Remember the old variety shows on TV? Anybody remember those? Put your hand up. All right, there you go. I see you, sir. Thank you. And that's what I try to do. So we're going to be all over the map, applying the truth of God's word to every nook and cranny of life. And oftentimes that's not comfortable. So I'm going to say some things that upset liberals. That's easy. But I'm also going to say some things that upset conservatives like you. Good chance. And I don't do that because it's fun, even though sometimes it is. That's not my motivation. My motivation, hopefully, and the Lord has to check me on this, is out of love. Love for the Lord, love for you, love for myself. Love for our neighbor, right? That's the deal. So that's kind of what's going on with the show. FYI, in case you're newer and wondering what the whole deal is with the cow mooing in the show intro. All right, so where do we go today? Where do we go? I've got several different things I want to do. I love this story. I rarely say that. Most of the time, I'm just pulling what hair I have left out of my head. But not this time. This is a good prayer request right here for the Catholic Church in America. Let's pray for the U.S. Catholic bishops, okay? As a matter of fact, let's just do that right now, shall we? Join me. Let's pray. I'm serious. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. I just want to lift up to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Lord. I don't know where any of these men are with actual belief and being born again or anything like that. But I do know that they're wrestling with something that I've wanted to see the Catholic Church, specifically here in America, do for years, which is to take prominent Catholics and refuse to give them communion because they're for the murder of the unborn. So, Lord, I want to pray for them as they take this up in June, that they would have the courage to do what I believe they know is right. So, Lord, move amongst them for this issue, but also for salvation. Again, I don't know where any of these men are, whether they're actually born again or not. I know it's easy to go after the Catholic Church on this, that, or the other thing, but I do not know their hearts, and so I pray for them as well. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, from the Federalist, dated today. I love it. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops will determine at their next meeting in June whether President Joe Biden, are you going to watch him tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time? Watch Joe Biden, watch a slipping old gentleman spend $1.9 trillion in about an hour. Okay, watch that. 9 p.m. We'll determine at their next meeting in June whether President Joe Biden and other politicians who support abortion should be urged to stop receiving communion, according to the Associated Press. So that I say a big yes, amen. Biden is the second Catholic president ever, the first being John F. Kennedy, who was not vocal about abortion and nominated pro-life Justice Byron White to the Supreme Court, talking about Kennedy. Supporting abortion is a grave moral evil, said Archbishop Joseph Naumann of Kansas City, Kansas, the chair of the USCCB Committee on Pro-Life Activities. Quote, because President Biden is Catholic, it presents a unique problem for us, Naumann told the AP. It can create confusion. How can he say, I'm going to lay this on you, too, if you happen to call yourself a believer, but you're pro-abortion. How can he say he's a devout Catholic and he's doing these things that are contrary to the church's teaching? Unquote. Great question. The bishop's aim to send a clear message to Biden and change his mind on the abortion issue. Good luck. But their actions would not prohibit the president from receiving communion. That's too bad. Bishop W. Francis Maluli of Wilmington, Delaware, and Cardinal Wilton Gregory of Washington, D.C. have both said they will allow the president to receive communion, to which I say, you men are cowards. In November, USCCB President Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez said Biden's support for abortion gives the church a difficult and complex situation. It ain't difficult and it ain't complex, brothers. It's simple. You deny a clear teaching of Scripture and the Catholic Church, we're not going to give you communion, period. That's not complicated, is it? After making this statement, Gomez announced the creation of a group to study it. I'm so sick of study groups. These policies pose a serious threat to the common good. No kidding. Gomez said, when politicians who profess the Catholic faith support them, meaning abortion, it creates confusion among the faithful about what the church actually teaches on these questions. Thank you. San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cardiglione told the AP, there's a growing sense of urgency in communicating to Biden. He ought not to receive communion. This is from an archbishop in San Francisco. This warms my heart. Abortion is not just one among many important issues. It's a direct attack on human life, he continued. Politicians need to understand the scandal that is caused when they say they are faithfully Catholic and yet oppose the church on such a basic concept. Let me correct you there, sir. Oppose the church? He's thinking Catholic Church. I'm talking about opposing God and the Word of God. And that is a problem, especially when you're a public official, an elected official, and especially if you've ascended by hook or by crook to the highest office in the land. Joe Biden, a Catholic, who's the president of the United States, who is all in for abortion. Which is it, sir? Because you can't do both. Well, you are, but the Catholic Church should stand up and say, you can't be both. You can't get a little bit pregnant. If you're going to claim Catholicism, which he does, then you have to answer, sir, publicly for why you decry, ignore, disobey a clear teaching of Scripture on the issue of abortion when you have the power to be a healer instead of a co-conspirator. They need to put him on the block for that. They need a two-thirds majority in June. Let's pray, please, Lord, give these men chests and spines to do what is right for your glory. In Jesus' name, this is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Oh, angel said, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. And we're going to get an update from our friends at North Carolina Citizens for Constitutional Rights. We talked to them the other day, and we were talking about what's going on down at the legislature here in North Carolina about HB 558, which is a bill to try to tell not just the government here in North Carolina, but businesses. You cannot require, you can't discriminate based on the vaccination. You can't do that. They can't fire you or hire you. They can't allow you back or not allow you back based on that. So they're trying to say the government can't do the vaccine passport and businesses can't do vaccine passports. That looked like it was moving along. And then now it looks like it's not. It looks like the members on the committee are not moving it along because they're afraid to put their foot down with businesses. Really? We're not talking about little kids here. We're talking about discrimination in the workplace based on whether you get a vaccination or not. My body, my choice, whatever happened to that? So I'm not sure who's going to call in. It'll be Tara or Mindy that's going to call in. We're going to talk to them after the 4:30 break and get an update on that and what we can do, which pretty much what we're going to have to do is pressure the people on the committee. on the health committee. Okay, so they'll probably tell us about that, tell us what we can do. We'll talk to them after the 4:30 break. Tara and Mindy from North Carolina Citizens for Constitutional Rights. Again, they were just on Monday. So that's really important as we're looking at vaccine passports, and that turns into a nightmare fast. So we'll talk to them after the 4:30 break, okay? All right, did you see this today? This is where you change control of the judicial branch, not the judicial branch, the executive branch of the government, and you get this kind of stuff going on. So this just happened earlier today. Rudy Giuliani's home and office searched by federal investigators executing a search warrant. It all depends on who's got the gold, right? That's the golden rule. According to initial reports, federal investigators have executed a search warrant on Rudy Giuliani's Manhattan apartment and his office. Prosecutors obtained the search warrants as part of an investigation into whether Mr. Giuliani broke lobbying laws, as President Trump's personal lawyer reported the New York Times. The search warrants were reportedly executed early on Wednesday at his home and his office. According to three people with knowledge of the investigation, the move by federal investigators represents a significant ramp up in a criminal investigation into Mr. Giuliani's dealings in Ukraine. Why? Because they were hunting down all the garbage around Hunter Biden. So maybe that's what's going on here. Wow, I can't imagine the president of the United States would ever use the power of the federal workhorse to do his own bidding there in the executive branch. Well, remember when Obama weaponized the IRS? You'll probably see that again. They started going after anybody related to the Tea Party whatsoever. You weaponize the IRS. So that's probably what's going on here. The investigator seized Mr. Giuliani's electronic devices and searched his apartment on Madison Avenue and his office on Park Avenue at about 6 a.m. The execution of search warrants is an extraordinary action for prosecutors to take against a lawyer of all people, let alone a lawyer for the former president. Robert J. Costello, Giuliani's lawyer, described the actions as legal thuggery, adding that the searches were unnecessary because his client had offered to answer prosecutors' questions, except those regarding Mr. Giuliani's privileged communications with the former president. So, of course, under the Biden administration, they're going to go after anybody that had anything to do with Donald Trump, for the most part, but especially if they were going after Hunter Biden. And this is just, unfortunately, life in the United States of America in the swamp. You know the golden rule, don't you? He who has the gold makes the rules. Well, now we have a different person who has the gold. So expect to see more and more of this. Speaking of Biden, this was kind of funny, kind of. This was in Fox, contributor Jason Chaffetz, who's great. Have you ever seen him on Fox before? He formerly served in Congress. He's really good. I saw the headline, CNN reporter raises eyebrows by promoting Biden's moderate radicalism. That's like a subtle dismemberment. moderate radicalism. Oh, well, gosh, is there any other kind? So this is Jason Chaffetz. President Biden campaigned on a sharply progressive agenda, but media outlets frequently referred to him as moderate and centrist in their 2020 coverage. Now that he's governed in such a way that even far-left Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been impressed, outlets seem to be having it both ways, such as CNN analysis piece that proclaimed Biden's moderate radicalism, quote unquote, will be on display when he addresses Congress on Wednesday. That's tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you need some help falling asleep and want to see somebody spend $1.9 trillion in less than an hour, that's what you're going to see tonight. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Biden's quiet radicalism is expressed through a huge pandemic rescue bill, a larger proposal that redefines the concept of infrastructure. Oh, boy, does it. And a massive health and child care blueprint, which is what you're going to learn about tonight. Liberal CNN White House reporter Stephen Collinson wrote, it's an agenda that argues government can still solve national problems 40 years after an era defining. Collinson blamed President Ronald Reagan's famous admonition that government is the problem for heralding a shrinking of the state that widened economic inequalities. Okay, so this is the deal generally between a conservative and a liberal. A liberal generally looks to the government to move the country forward. Progressivism, we're going to progress through the power of the government. We're going to make society better. We're going to make you better. We're going to make conditions better by using the power of the federal government. We will make progress. Think Darwinian evolution. Okay, that's liberalism. Conservatism, hold on, not so fast. If we want the country to get better, who do we trust more? Us up here in D.C. or the people? Maybe we should unleash the people to live their lives according to the dictates of their faith, their beliefs, what have you. That's liberty versus always having the government jump in. So that's what's going on. So Reagan's like, get the government out of the way. And liberals like Biden are like, no, the government's the answer. Collinson, whose pieces have been largely favorable to the new White House, scare-quoted radical to describe what he felt was Biden's reasonable belief in the role of government, writing, quote, President Joe Biden's quote-unquote radical idea is that government is not the problem in America, but the multi-trillion dollar solution that can end the pandemic, equalize the economy, and make life better for millions of working people. Apparently, this gentleman at CNN, either by old-fashioned math or perhaps Common Core, doesn't realize that we are buried in our debt. $28.5 trillion. Tonight he's going to ask for another $1.9 trillion. Recently asked for another $2 trillion. We're going to be $5 trillion over in this fiscal year alone. We are swimming in red ink. And it's not that far off in the distance when our federal government's not even going to be able to make the interest payments. Now, I'll be out of here. I'll be dancing on streets of gold. I'll be out of here. My kids, they're going to be hosed. Your kids, your grandkids, we are literally taking credit cards out in their names and driving them all the way up. But who cares? Because it makes us look good now so that we can get reelected and maintain power. That's what's going on here. It's disgusting. And you're going to see it in all its glory tonight, by the way, for as long as Biden can handle it. Republicans have struggled since the presidential campaign to portray Biden, a classic Washington Democrat centrist for 50 years, as some kind of raging socialist who wants to bring down the U.S. society, Collinson wrote. As a white elderly man, Biden is a different, difficult target for Trump-loving conservatives who like to portray racially diverse Democrats as a threat to what they see as Anglo-Saxon cultural traditions. Okay, that's so offensive. But that's critical race theory, thinking like that. I know what you're white people. I know what you're thinking. Boy, what's hard to demonize a fellow white person. That's so condescending. It's so messed up. That is critical race theory, by the way, which I'm going to talk about because critical race theory from the Epoch Times is about to face its day in court. But we're going to talk about some North Carolina business and some people without backbones when it comes to the vaccine issue. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. That's a Johnny Cash song
going round
about Judgment Day. And Judgment Day needs to be something that we embrace when it comes to politicians and having to deal with them. And like Ronald Reagan used to say, you either make them see the light, you educate, you engage, you have conversations, or you make them feel the heat. If that doesn't work, you turn on the heat, phone calls, personal visits, all that kind of stuff, so that they know there's enough people that want something or are trying to push back against something. But if nobody says anything, if nobody shows up, if nobody engages, then they're like, okay, well, we'll just do whatever we want. They're kind of like kids that way. If you get away with it, you're just going to keep doing it. So that's the challenge. And most of us sit around and complain, but very few of us actually do things. And that's one of the things that we try to promote here on the show is apathy simply as a Christian and as a Christian that cares about your nation and your neighbors. Apathy just really isn't an option. So the question becomes, what do you do? And so we try to talk about that pretty regularly on the show. Just a couple days ago, we had a couple of the folks here in the studio from North Carolina Citizens for Constitutional Rights. We're going to get an update from Tara, who is one of the volunteers with NCC for NC. I mean, talking about it, if we look at it, go North Carolina Citizens for Constitutional Rights, NCC4CR.com. Tara, thanks for calling in. Give us an update. It sounds like things are getting pretty frustrating down there.
Yeah, so today we found out that in order for the bill to advance, all five chairs of the health committee have to agree unanimously. All five of them are Republicans, and apparently at least some of them are hesitating in regard to advancing the bill out of committee. Their names are Baker, Lambeth, Sasser, and White. So we are asking for everybody to call, visit, email, snail mail, let them know that you want to see 558 advance out of committee. We also were able to submit an amendment to deal with some of the hesitations, which were primarily that the bill was asking for limitations on vaccine mandates other than just COVID-19. So we have agreed to limit the bill just to the COVID-19 vaccines, and it also will offer the businesses liability protections, which they were concerned about us, you know, putting forth a bill that, you know, was going to limit businesses. So we feel like we've overcome all of their hesitations, but we definitely need people to be advocating for 558 and contacting those five health chairs.
Are you going to have that information up at the website? It's ncc4cr.com. That's the number for North Carolina Citizens for Constitutional Rights.
Absolutely are. We've got a call to action tab at the top of the webpage. It's a red banner. And then we've actually got a link on the side, call to action. We're going to get this updated as soon as we can. We just left the NCGA.
Yeah, so do you think that the problems with these Republicans on the health committee is limited to the things you're talking about covering in the amendment? Like, okay, fine, you have some concerns, we understand, we'll address those. Or do you think there's something more to that?
What we're being told is that the primary hesitation is that they don't want to interfere with businesses being able to open safely if the way that those businesses feel safety, you know, safely opening is somehow, they believe it's mandating these vaccines for their employees. So by offering the liability protection for businesses, for schools, you know, for events, et cetera, then that takes away the fear that we're interfering with the businesses who would have some sort of liability if a person came on their property and got sick. So it's really win-win, not just for the vaccine, but also for the mask mandate, because if the businesses don't have liability, it gets the masks off of us too.
So have you gotten any response from the Republicans on this committee to the amendment language and the fact that it's covering some of these things that they say are the big concern?
So the amendment language is literally being submitted at 5 o'clock. It was worked on all day by volunteers who came to the table understanding what their hesitations were. And so we said, well, how do we overcome these hesitations without compromising or without in any way, you know, watering the bill down to where people were not protected? And so we really feel like once it gets in front of them, they're not going to have any reason whatsoever to not get behind it. We've taken away their, we've neutralized their hesitation.
Yeah, and that's where you have to go based on what they're saying. And then you meet them there and go, okay, we dealt with that. Now we'll see. Because when will they actually vote on this, Tara?
So right now we are being told that the most likely date that it will be voted on in committee is May 4th, which is our big legislative action day that we talked about when we were on your show.
Yep.
And we have absolutely no reason to believe that it will not be voted on committee May 4th. However, things have been very fluid and changing. I'm sure that you know that if these bills do not cross over by May, I believe it's 14th, they are dead on arrival and cannot be considered again until next session. So this is a very, very timely bill, and we are T-minus 15 days and counting to get this thing done.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's next Tuesday, May 4th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're going to be meeting right in front of the legislative building in downtown Raleigh. So if you are out there for the Reopen NC rallies, this flows right along nicely with that as we're trying to push back against state government in this case, as well as businesses not discriminating against people because you don't want to get the vaccine. That's your decision. That's not the government's decision, but now they're willing to penalize you for it. That's an America that none of us want to live in. That's the antithesis of liberty. Tara, thanks so much for calling in with that update. Make sure you let me know what's going on as we move towards a vote here, and then we'll continue to urge people to get out there on Tuesday.
Will do. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling in. That was Tara, one of the volunteers with ncc4cr.com is the website. I've just put the link up on Facebook Live, okay? So it's ncc4, the number 4, cr.com, and literally right at the top of the page, there's just a little navigation button says call to action. So they're going to get that updated later today, probably in the next hour or so. And it's going to have the information for you to be able to contact the 5 Republicans on the House Health Committee who are getting cold feet. I understand generally the government, because I'm a conservative. I don't want the government dictating things to businesses generally. That's a general rule. But occasionally, businesses will trample on the rights of the American people. And that's a problem. And when it comes to this vaccine, you get it. You don't get it. That's your choice. And by the way, if other people have gotten it and they're mad at you because you didn't get it, if they get it, it's supposed to be so effective. What are they worried about? They shouldn't be worried about you. It's really your problem. It's not their problem. But all of a sudden, if you're going to allow businesses, schools, your employer, you can come here, you can't come here, show me your vaccine passport. You can see where this goes south fast, right? So talk about segregating the country. We're doing it. We're headlong doing it through critical race theory. We're doing it through masks, and now we're doing it through COVID-19 vaccinations. segregating the country. You thought it was divided during the Trump presidency? You ain't seen nothing yet. So make sure you go there, ncc4cr.com. That just stands for North Carolina Citizens for Constitutional Rights. And they're battling it out down there, trying to get this legislation there so that you have the freedom to not be, you won't be penalized by the state or your employer or businesses for you making decisions based on your own choices. Again, whatever happened to my body, my choice? Well, that only matters apparently when liberals want it to matter. But you can just, you can complain about it, but if you don't get involved, if you don't send an email, if you don't make a phone call, or if you don't go downtown on May 4th here in Raleigh, then you're just going to get what you didn't pay for. Does that make sense? All right, so critical race theory and the resegregation of America. This was in the Epoch Times. I'm only going to start this, and then we'll finish it up on the other side. And then I want to do something really interesting to hopefully give us all some hope before we finish the show today. Critical race theory is about to face its day or days in court. This is in the Epoch Times. So President Trump issued an executive order last September banning the teaching of this malign ideology, that's what they called it, to federal employees and federal contractors. So they acted at the federal level, okay? Trump's ban was blocked by a federal judge in December and immediately revoked by Joe Biden upon occupying the White House in January. Do you think Joe Biden understands critical race theory? No way. Since then, federal agencies and federal contractors have resumed staff training on unconscious bias, microaggressions, systemic racism, and white privilege, some of the most common but also most disputed concepts associated with the four-decade-old academic theory, critical race theory, okay? Now critical race theory is about to face a major real-world test in a spate of lawsuits alleging that, listen to this, alleging that it encourages discrimination and other illegal policies targeting whites, males, and Christians. So this is what we're doing. Critical race theory is resegregating the country, reintroducing Jim Crow laws. It's just changing the groups that they're going to use the Jim Crow laws against. That's, as I learn this and I read this and I study this, that's what I see coming. We're resegregating the country. Everything's about skin color, separate but equal, but not really. And then you start working into like Jim Crow laws. And we got to deal with you poor white folks who don't understand your white privilege and your white fragility and your white guilt and all the other stuff. And we're going to deal with you because you need to learn, right? See the problem? Back to the article. The common thread of these legal challenges is the inescapable logic that making accommodations for critical race theory will erode the nation's anti-discrimination law as it has developed since the 1960s. Boom, there you go. So when we come back, excuse me, I'm going to keep working through this article. There's a few more really important points here, which is why you need to understand what's going on with critical race theory as we resegregate the country and reintroduce Jim Crow laws. In this case, they'll just be pointed at other people as opposed to people of color. That's the deal. That's what's happening. That's why it's important. That's why we're talking about it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. One of the great things, and I thank the Lord for this, with a live daily Christian talk radio show, especially with our focus here in North Carolina, is that we can be nimble. And when God opens the door and we can talk to some of our great elected representatives who are going to help us understand what's happening in our own backyard, then we have the opportunity to do that. I ran into my friend, North Carolina Senator Ted Alexander, a few weeks ago at the Black Mountain Retreat with Dan Forrest. And he had mentioned that they had some great initiatives coming up. They believe they had a press conference earlier today. And fortunate enough to have Senator Ted Alexander on the phone with us. District 44 here in North Carolina. Senator Alexander, how are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing great, Steve. You're doing well.
I am. Thank you very much. So tell us, I know the press conference was earlier today. Get us up to date and let us know how we can help.
Sure thing. Well, we had a press conference today on Senate Bill 497. Which is the Stop Media Censorship Act. And the name is pretty self-explanatory. I'm almost positive that if anyone within your listening range here who happens to be on social media knows someone or has themselves experienced some form recently, especially of social media censorship. Regarding, you know, your political or religious belief.
Sure.
And what this does, what this bill does, is it takes advantage of an exemption in federal law the exemption allows for states to allow individuals or individuals to take action against social media companies if they censor things that are not, are just regular run-of-the-mill political and religious discourse. And so this bill will allow for individuals that if they feel like they have been unduly censored, then they can ask the Attorney General of North Carolina to file suit. If the Attorney General fails to do so within a certain period of time, then the individual himself can take it upon himself to do that. So we hope that this will cut down on so much of the, basically just censorship of our First Amendment rights.
Well, it's flat out censorship. I mean, that happened to me in December, Ted. I was knocked off of Facebook for a week, and they referenced something that was 3 months old and another thing that was almost 5 years old, which I think they go, okay, yeah, we need to shut this guy down. They just go find something. Then it allegedly violates their community standards, which you can't really understand that. And then, of course, you have recourse. You can't do anything. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you want to reply? That's it. It just goes off into the nether world. And you have no ability to hit back at all. What about the federal law? Is it Rule 320? I'm trying to remember what it's called that gives these guys some protection. 230.
Section 230. And there's a little section in there that allows for state exemption. Because it's a federal law. It's 230E, paragraph 3, and it's of the Community Decency Act. And so this section carves out an exemption that states can, pass laws or whatever that would protect its citizens. So this is being done in a number of other states.
Yeah.
Or at least it's being proposed in other states, Utah, Texas, Kentucky, and Florida. These are ones that either have or are passing anti-censorship laws. And then, actually, believe it or not, Steve, this is a bipartisan thing in many respects. There are several; those are, of course, Republican-led states. There are some Democrat states that the Democrats are carrying the bill, similar bills, and those are in Rhode Island, Hawaii, and New York.
Wow!
And there may be others, but these are ones that I'm aware of. And you're so right that people have almost no recourse if you get canceled or if you get censored. I give the example this morning to my own sister. She is a veteran. She served 20-some years in the Air Force as a major. And my young baby sister, 6 years younger than me, basically every day all she posts about a couple times a week are Bible verses from the King James Version. Well, couple months ago, she posted a couple verses, and lo and behold, they took them down.
Wow.
And, it's like, what is this all about?
Yeah. And, well, First Amendment, what's that?
What is that? If you think about, Steve, the other groups and people that have been censored, former president, for crying out loud.
Yep.
The White House press secretary, the Babylon Bee, which is sort of a satirical kind of entity, and Dr. Seuss, for crying out loud.
It's happening all over the place because liberals don't want to have a conversation. They just want control, and that's what they have to do.
That's exactly right. The strange and kind of frightening thing, Steve, is that so much of the regular media, the print media and the mainstream media and so forth like that, you would think that they would be opposed to censorship. And yet, in this respect, you'll find the vast majority are taken up for the big tech companies. Now, we don't have anything against big tech companies per se. They certainly fulfill a good role in our society. They locate, they have jobs, they They do good things in the community, and the people who work for them are good. But there are times when any company or any business does things that are not good. And we feel like the censoring of people for their purely for their religious or political belief is not – it's very dangerous for our First Amendment rights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it shreds them and just ignores the fact that we have a constitution. Do you think this will go fine in terms of a vote before crossover, Ted, in the Senate?
It's hard to say, Steve, but that's where, you know, your listeners and so forth can hopefully make a difference. There is a companion bill in the House, and that's been introduced by Representative Jeff McNeely. It's not quite a companion bill. It's very similar.
Yeah.
And so if either one were to make it, that would be fine. And Representative McNeely would have been here today, but he's in session right
okay.
now.
What do you know what district he's in, Ted?
He represents Iredell County.
Okay.
And over in Statesville, in that area there. Right. And really good guy. He's very, of course, like I am, very protective of our First Amendment freedoms. You know, we hear this so many times, Steve. How many times have we heard people say regarding the Second Amendment, you know, they're going to have to take my gun from my,
right, what is it? Right. My cold, dead hands.
My cold, dead hands. Well, folks, if we don't wake up, we will be dead before we realize that our First Amendment rights are being taken away from.
That's right.
And we need to be just as vigilant to protect those as we are for our Second Amendment rights, because they're both crucial to our democracy and republic.
Absolutely so, right. So make sure you contact your state senator on the SB 497, and then on the House side, what's do you know the bill name on in the House side, Ted?
I knew you would ask that, and I don't have it right now, but it's the Digital Information Censorship Bill.
So, okay.
It's a little bit different title over there in the House.
I'll find out. Yeah. I'll mention it later this week. I'll make sure I find that out.
That's right. I'll get that out. That's where, you know, you're folks can help make a difference, because you know, otherwise it's just one more controversial bill.
That's right.
You know, we've got other things to do, and they may not want to deal with it.
Exactly right. But Senator Ted Alexander, I got you. Senator Ted Alexander, District 44 here in North Carolina. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate that, and we'll make sure we start lighting up the phones there at the Senate as well as the House. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
You too. Thanks. We'll talk again real soon. I appreciate that. And again, that's the deal. You have First Amendment rights and censorship, right? We're all complaining about it. We're all whining about it, as we should be. But the question always comes back to, what are you doing about it? Now, we should pray for our rights here in America. As a Christian, I don't run the flag up the flagpole saying, I've got rights as a Christian. As a follower of Jesus Christ, when it comes to my walk with him, I don't have any rights. He's my Lord, my King, my Master, okay? So I lay down all my rights before the Lord. But then he'll have you take things up for the good of the kingdom and the good of the gospel and the good of your neighbor. And when it comes to free speech, do you want to be able to speak about the gospel? Yes. Do you want to be able to speak out against the immorality in our nation, whether it be abortion, sexual ethics, whatever? Yes. And if you can't speak out, well, then you just lost your voice. You lost your platform. You lost your ability to be an ambassador for the gospel, all kinds of stuff. And so that's a problem. That's tyranny. So you have to do something about it. So that's on the Senate side. And that's an easy thing. You just go look up who your North Carolina state senator is and say, I'd like you to support Senate Bill 497, Stop Media Censorship Act. And again, this runs around the federal rule 230, which is how they designate what these social media companies are, saying, oh, you can't go after them for censoring. They have that. They carved out a little protection thing for them, and only conservatives are trying to get rid of that. But like Ted said, there's a little part in the paragraph there, in paragraph 3 of 230E, it's a federal law that allows states to push back. And I know once you got a Democrat attorney general, most likely they're not going to go after a social media company, but it sounds like after a certain amount of period, you can go after them yourself. That's the challenge. You have a problem with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Who do you call? Who can you email? Nobody. It's just a black hole. Well, this will give you an opportunity to engage. A lot to pray for and a lot to work for. Senate Bill 497, that's with Ted Alexander. And also remember 558 that we were just talking about. That NCC 4, I always forget that. But I'll keep an eye on it, and we'll keep talking about it and try to engage. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.